Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. An Introduction to Zen Buddhism by D.T. Suzuki is a foundational doorway into Zen as both a living tradition and a distinctive way of seeing. Rather than presenting Zen as a set of doctrines to memorize, Suzuki frames it as an experiential path that aims at direct insight into reality. Written for readers who may know Buddhism mostly through concepts, the book emphasizes why Zen repeatedly challenges conceptual thinking, why it distrusts secondhand belief, and how its practice is meant to transform ordinary consciousness. Suzuki also situates Zen within the wider Buddhist landscape, clarifying how Zen relates to core Buddhist ideas while developing its own methods and style. Along the way, readers encounter central themes such as awakening, meditation, teacher-student transmission, and the role of paradoxical training tools. The result is a concise but influential overview that helps Western audiences grasp why Zen has been described as practical, rigorous, and deeply psychological, while still rooted in centuries of Buddhist practice and culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Zen as direct experience, rather than belief. A central thread in Suzuki's presentation is that Zen is not primarily a philosophy to adopt, but an experience to realize. He emphasizes that Zen points to immediate seeing into one's own nature and the nature of reality, a kind of knowing that cannot be fully captured by definitions. In this framing, religious life is not measured by how well one can explain ideas, but by whether perception and conduct are transformed. This is why Zen literature often sounds evasive or even confrontational to readers expecting neat doctrines. Suzuki explains that Zen distrusts reliance on verbal formulations because words quickly become substitutes for insight. Concepts can be useful as signposts, but they are not the destination. He also highlights a practical dimension. Zen is meant to be lived in ordinary life, not only contemplated. The discipline of returning to the present moment, meeting circumstances without excessive mental overlay, and acting from clarity is portrayed as the heart of Zen's contribution. For newcomers, this topic clarifies why Zen teachings can feel strange, and it also provides a criterion for reading the rest of the book. Interpret Zen descriptions as invitations to a mode of experience, as not as abstract metaphysical claims. Secondly, Satori and the Logic of Awakening. Suzuki's introduction commonly revolves around the idea of awakening, often described in Zen as Satori, a breakthrough in which one sees reality in a fresh and unfiltered way. He presents awakening not as an otherworldly trance, but as a shift in how the mind relates to experience. Ordinary cognition tends to split life into subject and object, self and world, and then builds a network of judgments and attachments. In Suzuki's account, Zen practice aims to cut through this habitual fragmentation so that one meets life more directly. This emphasis also explains Zen's unusual relationship to logic. Zen does not reject reason because it is useless, but because reason has limits and can become a barrier when treated as the only tool for knowing. Awakening is portrayed as a kind of insight that reorders the whole person, influencing perception, emotion, and action. Suzuki also stresses that genuine insight must show itself in everyday conduct, not merely in dramatic stories of realization. For readers, this topic provides a way to understand why Zen training can be intense and why it prioritizes inner transformation. It also helps interpret Zen anecdotes and methods as engineered to provoke a decisive change in viewpoint. Thirdly, meditation, discipline, and the training of attention. Although Zen is often associated with sudden awakening, Suzuki also highlights the role of sustained discipline, especially forms of seated meditation and mindful training. He presents practice as a way to steady attention and to observe how the mind constructs its reality through grasping, aversion, and constant commentary. From this angle, meditation is less about achieving a pleasant state and more about clarifying what the mind is doing moment by moment. The emphasis is on direct observation and on learning to let thoughts and reactions arise without being compelled by them. Suzuki's overview commonly connects this training to the possibility of insight when attention is stable and less tangled in compulsive narratives. Reality can be encountered more simply. Discipline is also framed as an ethical and practical matter, shaping how a practitioner responds under pressure, how desire is handled, and how ordinary tasks are performed. This topic is especially useful for readers who only know Zen through aesthetic images or popular slogans. Suzuki's treatment underscores that Zen is rigorous and methodical in its own way, even when it refuses to be reduced to a system of propositions. Practice becomes the laboratory, where claims about freedom and clarity are tested in daily life. Fourthly, Cones, Paradox, and Breaking Conceptual Habits. Suzuki is well known for explaining why Zen uses unusual teaching devices, such as cones and apparently illogical exchanges. He interprets these methods as tools designed to disrupt the mind's automatic reliance on conceptual categories. A koan is not primarily a riddle with a clever answer. It is a form of training that exposes the limits of discursive thinking and pushes the practitioner toward a more immediate apprehension. paradox functions here, like a wedge. It interrupts habitual problem-solving and forces a deeper kind of response. Suzuki's approach helps demystify Zen dialogues that might otherwise look like mere obscurity or theatricality. The point is to create a crisis for the intellect so that a different mode of knowing can emerge. He also suggests that the teacher-student relationship is crucial in this process, because guidance is needed to prevent the practitioner from turning cones into intellectual games. For modern readers, this topic clarifies why Zen can appear intellectual while actually being strategically critical of intellectual fixation. It also explains Zen's distinctive pedagogy, where realization is demonstrated through presence and action rather than through verbal explanation. Cone practice becomes a way of retraining how meaning is made. Lastly, Zen in history and its cultural transmission. Suzuki places Zen within the broader history of Buddhism and explains how it developed distinctive features as it moved through Asian cultures and eventually attracted Western interest. He highlights that Zen is not a detached self-help invention, but a tradition with lineages, institutions, and evolving forms of practice. Understanding this historical dimension helps readers see why Zen emphasizes transmission, why it values certain texts and stories, and how cultural context shaped its expression. Suzuki's writing often bridges cultures by translating Zen ideas into terms that Western audiences can approach, while also warning that Zen cannot be reduced to an abstract spirituality divorced from training. This topic also touches the tension between universality and particularity. Zen points to an insight that is presented as universally accessible, yet it is carried by specific practices, rituals, and communities. For readers today, this perspective provides a balanced lens. It encourages openness to Zen's relevance while discouraging superficial appropriation. By treating Zen as both a living practice and a historical phenomenon, Suzuki helps readers interpret Zen's aesthetics, ethics, and methods more accurately. The book becomes not only an introduction to ideas, but also an orientation to how Zen has been transmitted, adapted, and understood across cultural boundaries. In conclusion, this book best serves readers who want a serious orientation to Zen Buddhism without needing advanced academic background, including spiritual seekers, meditation practitioners, students of comparative religion, and anyone curious about why Zen has had such influence in modern culture. It can benefit a reader's life by shifting attention from accumulating beliefs to examining immediate experience, which supports clearer perception, steadier attention, and more flexible responses to stress and conflict. Suzuki's emphasis on direct insight also helps readers question rigid self-stories and habitual mental reactions, a practical advantage whether one pursues formal Zen practice or not. Compared with many contemporary Zen introductions that focus mainly on lifestyle, minimalism, or generalized mindfulness, Suzuki offers a classic conceptual map of Zen's aims, methods, and distinctive logic. He explains why Zen resists being pinned down and how its training tools are meant to function, giving readers a framework that makes later study more intelligible. The book is worth buying because it is historically influential, compact, and oriented toward the core problem Zen addresses: the gap between knowing about life and seeing life directly. For readers who want an introduction with depth and lasting reference value, it remains a strong choice. If you would like to support DTT Suzuki, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.